has allowed me to be able to stand before you today. I have friends that didn't make it, classmates that didn't make it to see 2022. But God has blessed each and every one of us to see a new year. You know, as I was pondering this week on what the Lord would have me to say, it kept coming back to me the great controversy. The great controversy, brothers and sisters, is over the mind. The Bible lets us know that he who has the mind has what? The purse. Our title today is Entangled Minds. As we look at this world today, brothers and sisters, this world is entangled. I looked up the word entangled, and the definition is to get someone involved in a confusing and difficult situation. Do we see that happening today? So in light, brothers and sisters, of what we've been seeing in the news and all the different calamities and things that have been taking place, we have to be on our guards. And as I prepare to pray, I would ask you to pray with me, brothers and sisters, and for me. As we open up God's word, let us pray.
Father in heaven, once again, Lord, we thank you for another Sabbath you blessed us to see. We thank you for this holy gathering that you have allowed us to assemble and come together, Father, to strengthen one another and to hear the word of God. Lord, I have nothing to say, but Lord, you have a word for your people. And Lord, I ask that you would be with my mouth, that you would be with my mind. And Lord, as always, I'm careful to give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Entangled minds. Does everyone have a handout? Praise the Lord. Entangled minds. As I said earlier, brothers and sisters, this world is entangled. And as we look, you know, I was looking at Psalms. Psalms 23 and verse 4. David says that in Psalms 23 and verse 4, David says that though he walks through the valley of the shadow of what? David looks at this world as a shadow of what? Death. Moses records in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, he records that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only what? Evil continually. Luke, in chapter 17, verse 26, let us go there. Luke chapter 17, Luke in chapter 17, verses 26 says, and as it was in the days of Noah, So shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 28, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it did what? Rained fire and brimstones from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke also records that in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, the Bible says, nevertheless, this is written in word. This is Jesus speaking, brothers and sisters. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he do what? Find faith on the earth. Entangled minds. We're living in a world that's entangled. The Bible lets us know in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, that we should not love what, brothers and sisters? Love the world. The world has such a hold on us. Imperceptibly, we don't even realize it ourselves. I think about some of the things that we do and say and some of the cliches that we see on television. Many of us wear the clothing that says Nike. And Nike says what? Just what? Just do it. But we don't realize where that cliche has come from. How many of you, brothers and sisters, have ever heard of a man by the name of Aleister Crowley? I see a few hands. Aleister Crowley was Satan's number one henchman. He was a devil worshiper. But he grew up in a Christian home. Aleister Crowley coined the name, do thy will. That's where we get just do it from. A lot of musicians looks up to Aleister Crowley. You can see there on some of their album covers, his face is embedded in some of their album covers. This man was a stunt devil worshiper. And you see a lot of musicians that say, do thy will. Like a lot of young people who I know, hopefully not in this church, listen to Jay-Z. Brothers and sisters, you don't make it in this world without selling your soul. And God is expecting us, brothers and sisters, to come up higher in 2022. Our scripture reading was read, found in Colossians chapter 2. Let's go there again. Colossians chapter 2. Looking at verse 8. And the Bible reads, beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I'm reminded, brothers and sisters, of a story that we are all familiar with, found in Genesis chapter 2. We're talking about, brothers and sisters, entangled minds. And before we go to Genesis chapter 2, I'd like to read a statement here. Number one, if you have a handout here, it reads, for thousands of years, Satan has been experimenting upon the properties of the human mind. and he has learned to know it well. By his subtle workings in these last days, in what days? He is linking the human mind with his own. Did you get that? Imbuing it with his thoughts, and he is doing this work in so deceptive a manner that those who accept his guidance know not that they are being led by him at his will. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. The great deceiver hopes so to confuse the minds of men and women that none but his voice will be heard. Do we see that, brothers and sisters? The enemy has so much of our attention that we can't discern the voice of God or him. You know, brothers and sisters, when we look at Genesis chapter 2, let's go there. Genesis chapter 2, looking at verse 15. Now, in the Garden of Eden, how many voices were there? There were two voices. There was the voice of God, and there was the voice of who? The serpent. In Genesis chapter 2, looking at verse 16, it says, and the Lord God did what? Commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest what? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt what? Thou shalt surely die. That's one voice. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 2. The Bible says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest what? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God do know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be what? And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was what? Pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one what? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he what? Brothers and sisters, this is one of the saddest commentaries in the Bible. Because of this situation, the world is in the condition that it is today. And there were two trees, brothers and sisters. One tree perpetuated what? Life. And the other tree perpetuated what? Now, we just read that the enemy, the great deceiver, hopes to confuse the minds of men and women that none but whose voice? But his voice will be heard. Can I give you an example today of two trees that the enemy is doing the same thing that he did back in the Garden of Eden? And he doesn't have to change his tactics. Because the old ones, what? Brothers and sisters, one tree today that God has given us and has admonished us that will perpetuate life is the tree of life here. This book, brothers and sisters, will perpetuate eternal life. This book, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth, will get us into the kingdom. This tree is the knowledge of good and evil. Is there not some good in here, brothers and sisters? You can put your Bible on here. You can put the Ellen G. White app on here. You can read and study the Word of God. But is there also evil on here? This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And sadly, brothers and sisters, many are partaking more of this fruit than this fruit. You ask yourself the question, how much time did you spend at the tree of life this week than you did with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Look at number two on your handout. It says, man lost all because he chose to listen to who? The deceiver rather than him who is truth. The Bible gives us plenty examples that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you what? Free. This is called the smartphone. Satan said in Genesis chapter 3 that in the tree, what Eve said that this tree was one. Let me start in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one what? Wise. Smartphone. This does not make you wise. I can remember, brothers and sisters, when I could remember at least 10 phone numbers by heart. Now, if you were to ask me what was my wife's phone number, I would have to pick this up to see what her phone number is. This does not make you wise. But the great deceiver tells us that, let me finish. It says, man lost all because he chose to listen to the deceiver rather than to him who is truth, who alone has understanding by the mingling of evil with good. His mind had become confused, his mental and spiritual powers benumbed. No longer could he appreciate the good that God had so freely bestowed. Adam and Eve had chosen the knowledge of evil, and if they ever regained the position they had lost, they must regain it under the unfavorable conditions they had brought upon themselves. What is the condition in 2022 are we going to plan to bring upon ourselves? Brothers and sisters, we're going to have to make a change. I can remember 2 weeks ago, the song leader, right over there. What's your name, brother?
Ted.
Brother Ted. Said in Sabbath school that we're going to have to give up television. Did not you say that, Brother Ted? Brothers and sisters, these devices are occupying our minds. We're never going to have the connection that we need to have unless we start spending more time in God's Word. The enemy is entangling our minds. And he's doing it in such a deceptive, subtle way. Brothers and sisters, you know that when you get on this device, that you could be on there for hours. And you may be doing some what? Good things. But is it leading you to the kingdom? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every what? High thing that does what? Exalt itself against the knowledge of God. This, brothers and sisters, exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And also it says what? And bringing into what? Captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're going to have to be gatekeepers to our mind, brothers and sisters. God has given us the tools that we need that we can grow spiritually and that we will be able to resist the devil. He promises it. God is a man that he shall not, what? Lie. And he promised us in Jude that he is able to do what? Keep us from falling and to present us what?
Faultless.
Look at number 3 on your handout. It says, few realize that it is a duty to exercise what? Control over the what? Thoughts in imaginations. It is difficult to keep the undisciplined mind fixed upon profitable subjects. But if the thoughts are not properly employed, what does it say? Religion cannot flourish in the soul. Brothers and sisters, we can't serve two masters. The Bible says you're going to either love the one or hate the other. It says the mind must be preoccupied with sacred and what? Eternal things, or it will cherish what? Trifling and superficial thoughts. But both the intellect and the moral powers must be what? Disciplined. And they will strengthen and improve by what? Exercise. This brain here, brothers and sisters, this muscle must be what? Exercise. I've been in this church going on approximately 20 years. And yet, brothers and sisters, the enemy has a rap sheet on me that he brings things back to my memory that I would love for it to be erased. And unless we continue to run to Jesus, continue to keep our minds preoccupied with the word of God, we are no match for the enemy. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. It says, not one of us will ever receive the seal of God while our characters have one spot or stain upon them. It's almost like breaking the Ten Commandments. You break one, you break them all. Not one spot or stain. Christ is serious, brothers and sisters. You think our Savior came down here to give his life as an example for each one of us? He showed us the way. He paved the way. He also told us that he would give us his strength. You think he went through all that and then we're going to cherish one little sin, one spot? That's a spot. Sin is a spot upon our characters, and you think he's just going to let us in? It's not going to happen. There's going to have to be a change, brothers and sisters, for each and every one of us in 2022. Entangled minds. There are many stories in the Bible with individuals who had entangled minds. I think of one here that I wrote down in my notes. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. First Samuel. Chapter 10, looking at verse 6. Verse 1. In verse 1 it says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon the head and kissed him, referring to Saul, and said, is it not because the Lord have anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Verse 6, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned unto what? Another man. Verse 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another what? And all those signs came to pass that day. So here we see that Israel, who was a distinct people, instead of wanting God to be their king, they asked for an earthly king. And God gave them their request. But God equipped Saul to be able to lead his what? Inheritance. But as we continue on, we go down all the way to chapter 22. And in chapter 22, we see a different story. In chapter 22, looking at verse 17, here, Saul has begun to lose his way. And Saul was not doing the will of the Lord. And Saul had lost his way so far that he was able to do one of the most horrendous things that you can see a person to do. Listen to what it says in verse 17. And the king said unto the footman that stood before him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord. Because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But listen to this, brothers and sisters. This should have been a wake-up call for Saul. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. That should have woke the king up, brothers and sisters. Saul told his servants to fall upon the priest and kill him, but the servants feared God. Listen to what it says in Signs of the Times, September the 21st. It says, this is what Saul could do under the control of Satan. He could massacre the servants of God. If anything could have aroused the conscience of the king, it would have been the refusal of his servants to fulfill so barbarous a command. But jealousy is cruel as the grave. And the heart of Saul was blind because he had gone away from the light which God had given him. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Saul had walked away from the Lord. He refused to do the Lord's bidding. And it says that this is what he could do, murder the priest of the Lord. The Bible lets us know, brothers and sisters, in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. It tells us in Romans 13, verse 12, it says, the night is what? Far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off what? The works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Why, Paul? Why should we do that? Well, he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. He tells us, a time is coming that we are going to be what? Troubled on every side. Yet, not distressed. He says, we're going to be perplexed, but not in despair. He lets us know that we're going to be what? Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not what? Destroyed. America, look at number 5 on your handout. It says, America, where the greatest light from heaven has been shining upon the people, can become the place of greatest peril and darkness because the people do not continue to practice the truth and walk in the light. The more nearly we approach the closing scenes of this earth's history, brothers and sisters, we're one year closer to the coming of the Lord. I believe, brothers and sisters, and I'm not a prophet, but I believe we're going to see some marked changes this year. And God is preparing us. He's getting a people ready to meet the enemy. We are a special people, brothers and sisters. We don't know who we are. Let me finish this statement. It says, the more nearly we approach the closing scenes of this earth's history, the more pronounced will be the work of Satan. Listen to this. Every species of deception will take the lead to divert the mind from God through Satan's what? Devices. He's diverting minds, brothers and sisters. We even talked about it in Sabbath school this morning. we're going to start seeing, brothers and sisters, a lot of manifestations of evil spirits personating as our dead loved ones. These things are going to put us to the test. And I don't believe that we think these things are real. But they're coming, brothers and sisters. It's going to happen. The Bible lets us know in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In James chapter 1. In verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into what? Divers temptations." We talked about that in Sabbath school this morning. How when the disciples were persecuted, they rejoiced. You know why they were able to rejoice? Because the converted man has gained the victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. That's the only way you're going to be able to rejoice in diverse temptations. James also says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience." Are we not all in need of patience? The devil has a rap sheet on each one of us, and he knows what buttons to push. But we're going to have to get to the point, brothers and sisters, where we are dead to the world, dead to the flesh, and dead to him. To when he begins to push buttons, none of them seem to work. That's the condition we're going to have to be in. Remember, we said that not one spot can be on our characters. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work in our characters. Let Christ do the work he's trying to do in our characters. Let us get to the point, brothers and sisters, where we're not moved by the enemy when he presses things upon us. Remember, brothers and sisters, Moses and Aaron had to deal with a stiff-necked, rebellious people for over 40 years. And every time they came up on distresses, what did they do? They bowed down on their knees and asked God for help. Do we do that? Or do we fret and complain and murmur? But God is trying to teach us. God is patient with us. You know, brothers and sisters, I have children. And my children can try my patience. It takes a lot of prayer. And I know that God is allowing that to happen so that he can save me. He's trying to save me. He sees what I can't see. But he also sees where I'm struggling. I'm struggling, brothers and sisters. And God is allowing my own children to save me. Though they may be out of the church, God is using them to save me. So when they see Christ's character perfectly reproduced in me, maybe they may come on board. Do you see where we are, brothers and sisters? Let's close with Luke. I believe chapter 23. I believe it's where I want to go. Luke chapter 23. We're talking about entangled minds. In Luke chapter 23, looking at verse 13, we see that the enemy had so much control, over the children of Israel at this time that they were able to ask for a robber over their Savior. What are we giving up today? What is more important to us today than our Savior? What are we giving up? How much time are we sacrificing to spend time with our Savior than we are those things that may be good at hand but are not leading us to Christ? Satan doesn't care how many good things we do as long as it keeps us out of here. The spirit of prophecy calls him a wise general. But when we spend time in this book, it unmasks him and that we can see where he's heading and what he's doing and the roadblocks that he's putting in our path. This is why it's so important, brothers and sisters, to partake of the tree of life. Reading in Luke 23:13, it says, "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." Entangled mind. For of necessity, he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in this city, and for murder, and cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil have he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priest did what, brothers and sisters? Prevail. Closing with the man of sorrows. It says here, when we see Jesus, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, working to save the lost, slighted, scorned, derided, driven from city to city till his mission was accomplished, when we behold him in Gethsemane, sweating great drops of blood, and on the cross, dying in agony, when we see this, self will no longer clamor to be recognized. We must see Jesus. He is our only hope, brothers and sisters. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Each one of us have to ask ourselves the question this day, starting off in this new year, that we're going to have to surrender a lot of things in our lives. Time with Jesus is very important, because we never want to come up to that day when it may be said of one of us, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Wouldn't that be a sad commentary? To be in this church, to come here every Sabbath, to do all the things of the church functioning, but never, ever had a connection with Jesus. Wouldn't that be a sad commentary? Brothers and sisters, if you want to make a change in your life in 2022 and draw closer with Christ, I don't have to tell you, brothers and sisters, you see the handwriting on the wall. You see it. You see things are changing rapidly. And we're not going back to normal as we foresee normal. These things are about to escalate, and we're going to have to make some sound, serious decisions in the near coming months. Our walk with Jesus is going to have to get more closer, tight-knitted than ever before, if we plan on making it through this journey that he has us on, the narrow road. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be on that narrow road, if you want to be on that journey, stand with me, brothers and sisters. Because, brothers and sisters, this world has nothing to offer us but misery, sorrow, and death. And we see that every day, every hand, daily. And our hearts should mourn, brothers and sisters, mourn for the coming of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, as we have started this new year, and Lord, we see the things that are happening. We see the calamities, the storms. We see the famines and the sicknesses that are taking place. But Lord, you promised your children that you would not allow none of these things to come up on us if we would be obedient to your word. And Father, we recognize in our own strength, Lord, we can't do it. But we fall at your merciful feet, Lord, asking that you would keep us and present us faultless before your Father. And Lord, we know that you are sure. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And we claim your precious, precious promises today, Lord. You see us standing. And Lord, we are asking that in 2022, you imbue us with a double portion of your spirit, that we may be able to turn Tullahoma upside down. Lord, you only need a few. And Lord, here we are. Send us. And we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for the great things you're about to do in 2022 with your church. And we give you the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.